From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here, too. Not to talk about the weather today, because he just finished up this great big jump that the Red Bull team, Stratus, did with Felix Baumgartner and jumped from, 128,000 feet. Don was, as you already know, their meteorologist. We'll talk to him about that experience a bit later on in the program. And of course, we'll hear from the state statisticians with their updates on the weekly side as to crop progress in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Oh, and I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support and give you some good reasons why you should do it. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers as they came in from Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon. Futures were mixed in the soft red winter wheat pit. December contract at $8.47¾, a half a cent lower. The March at $8.16¼, down a quarter. And July futures were down a quarter at $8.32¾. That's the new crop. September of next year was up a half at $8.37¼. The hard red in Kansas City at $8.67¾ finished 2½ cents lower. December corn futures, $7.39, up a penny and three quarters. The March at $7.38¼, up one. May futures, $7.33¼, a penny and a half higher. And July corn, $7.25¾, a half cent higher. September at $6.49, down a quarter. December at $6.23, 3¼ cents lower. November beans in Chicago, $14.39¾. These are settlement prices, a penny and a quarter higher. January at $14.92¾, up one. The March at $14.68¾ a bushel, up 2¾ in the May contract. $14.32¾, up 4½ cents. July beans at $14.24 even, up 4¼ for the day. Next year's November at $13.28. That finished 3½ cents higher. December bean meal at $4.52.80, down $3.30. Bean oil at $50.42, 41 higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December at $126.67½, 70 cents higher. November feeders at $147.72½, up $2.17½, and lean hogs February at $84.42½, down 15 cents. This is the Closing Market Report.
From Urbana, deep in corn country, it's the game show of the stars, Password Agriculture. And here is the star of the show, Dave Dickey.
Okay, you know how to do this. Let's get started. Our contestant is Craig Cohen. Let's see how you do.
The password is deer.
Let me start you out with this. Tractor.
Combine.
Okay, let's try this one. Whitetail.
Deer.
Great, you are on a roll. Let's do one more.
The password is case.
Here we go. Brief.
Fleeting.
One more try. Lawyer.
Case.
And here is what you win. A chance to get in a drawing for either a John Deere 7730 or Case IH Magnum 315 toy tractor. And everyone listening can get into the drawing, too. Go to your phone right now and call 217-244-9455 and mention either Deere or Case to be entered into the drawing. That's 217-244-9455. And while on the phone, why not take the opportunity to make a pledge in support of WILL and the agricultural services?
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do give online at WILLAG.org, or you can make a phone call at 217-244-9455. This is the Closing Market Report. It's 16th day of October. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson of Dell&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with us today. What did you see in the marketplace that you found of interest?
You know, it was a very slow news day. We started off with the idea of a sort of turn on Tuesday, the consolidation that we saw on Monday. And we went up a little bit, but unfortunately, in thin volume, we didn't push to new highs, so we faded back through the day. It does look like we're doing a little job of back and filling and consolidating trade right in here, Todd, and we are a little bit encouraged with that. We are also a little bit encouraged with the announcement of some more bean sales to unknown. In general, that 90% of the time seems to mean China anymore, so their good appetite for beans does keep us feeling there's some good support coming in here soon.
What's the next big thing that you'll be watching in the marketplace?
Well, I think, you know, we want to keep a continual eye on the weather in South America. Whether they get a large crop planted and it gets in and gets up and looking good is going to have a lot to do with what we think the next high could be in this corn and bean crop.
How about for corn?
The corn, we're nearing the end of harvest. We're getting, wrapping up. It's going to, after this week and the decent weather we're looking at, it's going to be all over, but the shouting and the bin doors are going to go shut. And I think the biggest thing we're going to be looking at is hot ethanol production and seeing if we continue to use our corn for ethanol. And if we do, that means we continue to have very tight stocks.
Any indication that it's slowing down?
And, actually, ethanol went to the point of being a break even to make a little money here over the last few days. And that points to the idea that we ought to keep the ethanol plants moving at least at the rate they have been as of late.
We have enough corn around to keep that happening?
It's going to be rough. That's going to be depending on where you're at. Especially in our area over here, our yields just weren't what we call happy. They were lower than usual, and it's going to take a little bit of transplanting of some corn stocks from somewhere else if we were to keep our plants all here in central Indiana running all through the season.
One of the things farmers have been asking me as I've been out from time to time, and they asked this a lot last year, and I'm wondering whether you've got a good answer for it. Which is, and we know there's not a lot of corn this year, but it's all been put away. A lot of it has been sold this year already, and they're wondering where it is because you simply don't see it around. Is that just because so much storage has been built over the last 5 years?
Well, there's three reasons. Number one, the yield was a lot smaller in many areas. Number two, there has been quite an additional amount of storage added. But I'm going to say I know where an awful lot of farmer storage is totally empty. So that isn't the case either. But I think a lot of it and a good share of it was put into the feed market and the ethanol market on the early harvest. So, but there are areas that we're going to be hard-pressed to come up with a lot of corn as we move on. Now, the elevators themselves, basically with a smaller bean harvest in many areas, some of the corn went inside bins that would have held beans otherwise.
So as we look forward to the coming months for producers who have not sold and have something in storage, whether that's in the bin or at the elevator, might they find in their local areas some really, really strong bases, for instance, where you are, where there really wasn't much of a corn harvest?
I think the basis levels are going to they've stayed extremely strong through harvest, Todd. And when the bin doors get shut, basically the basis levels are going to have to come up to move some grain. We're either going to have to see flat price or basis come up, and we're looking for basis more so than the board price to do the movement of corn.
And how will the old versus new crop, and when I say new crop, I'm talking about 2013 this time around, differ as we move through November, December, and then, say, the July, August time frame?
Well, there's going to be a couple things looking here. Is right here, we're looking at trying to draw stocks out of old crop and everything that way. We will be going ahead trying to keep a somewhat decent prices to keep the acreage being planted to corn fairly good in the spring. But, we will have a tight supply, as we end the year here, depending on how South America goes. If they actually produce more beans and less corn, there won't be quite as much coming into our market. That's going to be something we'll want to look at along the way. But we could have some very tight corn supplies the March-July time frame here in the U.S.
The other big end user is the livestock sector. Anything that they should be thinking about as we're watching the price of corn and bean meal?
Well, I think, you know, there was numerous advisory firms that put out orders that they wanted to own corn and bean meal through the end of the year, here at the end of last week. And I think that there's most of your large producers do have some hedges in place protecting the price of their corn here now. And, you know, as we do dip on back a little bit, I think they're going to be probably buyers of more corn and wanting to prefer to own some meal as we see dips here also.
That on the idea, of course, I would imagine more than 50% done in harvest. And so much of it already in the bin and in place that the market should go higher, but it hasn't reacted that way the last two days.
The market has not just went higher here. I think that our export market has been very, very dead, except on the import side of the, where we're taking the exports, and the booking out of Argentina announced last week, the 600,000 tons, mm-hmm. The corn coming in from the week before from Brazil. I think that, like I said, if we continue to use corn for ethanol, the feed users are going to be in a very rough place trying to find corn here after March.
And one final topic as it relates to wheat and crop insurance. Is there incentive there for producers to put wheat in the ground? They still can sow that this year.
They can still sow it. The final date for signing up for crop insurance has been, but I think that that's a very advantageous number. I mean, even down with using T yields and the 70%, you can guarantee over $400 an acre on wheat, and boy, that just seems like a great way to start with a chance of double cropping.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, time now to dial a phone number. That's right. Hey, you know what? From time to time here on willag.org from Illinois Public Medium, we ask all of our listeners, no matter how they listen to us, whether that's off the website, off their mobile phone, on our regular phone line, or one of our radio stations, to help out just a little bit financially. About 40% of what we use to produce these programs that come to you from Illinois Public Medium is, comes to you. It comes from you. It's brought to you by you, and we need your funds. So how about dialing this number right now? It's 217-244-9455. If you listen online and you're on willag.org, there's a big button up on the right-hand side of the page. I think it's there at the moment. Should be there. And you can pledge online, too. This is a really quick and simple and easy thing to do, and we have some really cool reasons to do so, don't we, Dave Dickey?
Yes, we do. And one of those is our new Tractor Wars. Right now, everyone who calls in and gives the code word will be entered in a drawing to win either the John Deere 7730 or Case IH Magnum 315 model tractor. These are the big boys, Todd. They're 1/16th scale, value around $90 a piece. And all you got to do is call 217-244-9455 and whisper into the phone taker's ear, "Deer."
Oh, that sounds like a great deal. And you know what's coming up is, well, time to give gifts isn't too far away. And if you've got a special someone, a little someone who really likes toy tractors,
yes.
Or even if you happen to really like toy tractors, I'm one of those, then this is a really good deal.
And if you don't like green and red is more your style, then whisper the word Case.
Then whisper Case. All right.
So and you don't have to make a pledge to do that. It's a drawing, 217-244-945.
But I think you do have to make the phone call, right?
But you do have to make the phone call, and we're hoping that when you do, you take the opportunity to support WILO and the agricultural services we offer here. You know, I reflect on this all the time. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting does these surveys, Todd. You've seen them for years. Every year you go down to Kansas City and you get a survey, and what you learn is this: what producers want most of anything on the radio is two things. They want markets and they want weather. And it just so happens that is exactly what we do each and every day.
Amazing.
I know. 217-244-9455. We think the $120 level is fair market value for our agricultural service. More is grand, less is fine. You decide the number that is right for you, but it's important that you do go and make that phone call, 217-244-9455.
Bob Colquhoun is in studio with us. He's station manager here at WILL. That's the home station for the agricultural programming you're listening to. Bob, thanks for being alongside. We've got a few people to thank.
We do.
Yeah, right?
We absolutely do. And I want to know if that weather is whether or not to vote for John Deere or whether or not to vote for Case. What weather is that?
You're on top of your game today.
Yes.
Well, so are the people that are calling in. I do want to talk about our on-air challenge. Bates Commodities. Wow.
Commodities.
Wow. How did I say that? Is challenging our viewers to step up your pledge of support. If they hear from 25 pledges today and they mention Will Agriculture, Bates Commodities will add $500 to our pledge total. So we want to hear from you. Call us at 217-244-9455 and state your pledge of support. We need 12 more callers today to meet that goal. So give us a call and state a pledge of support for that. The thing that's impressive to me is the geographical changes, the geographical locations that people have called in from today.
It's very big.
It's amazing. St. Joseph, Evanston, Leroy, Charleston, Fisher, and Watsika. You know, I'm from New England originally,
But you were down in Florida for a while.
Yeah,
they had
those
kind of
names.
We do
have Indian names, but some wonderful folks. Timothy Temple is one person, and next break we'll talk about some other people. Mary and Joseph McHugh, thank you, folks.
Thanks much for that.
You know, we love to hear from our folks out there, and thanks for calling in to this worthy programming that deals with weather and pricing, right? Is that what you said?
Absolutely. Weather and markets.
Markets.
You betcha. Hey, thanks, Bob. That's Bob Colquhoun and Dave Dickey. You can get on the action, get on the tractor wars when you call in, either whisper the word deer or case. Those are the code words, and you can be in the drawing. You don't have to pledge at that point, but you do have to dial the number 217-244-9455. Again, that number is 217-244-9455. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Watsika pledge came maybe from somebody who listens to WGFA there. If you're listening to one of our other stations, maybe you're listening in Hoopston to WHPO or WHOW out of Clinton, or maybe KEI out of Kewaunee. Maybe you're listening to Taylorville and TIM. Hey, one of those stations, be sure you call in. Let them know what station you're calling from, although that may confuse them a bit. But yeah, and then tell them deer or case, and make sure you say agriculture. That's the important one that you do, and you do it right now.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that as of the 14th day of October, 79% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 38%. Last year at this same time, 42% of the crop had been harvested. 96% of the soybeans are dropping leaves now, and 71% of the crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average, 58%. Last year, that number was 64%. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Little Travis Brazil. So I will fill out with the weekly crossing weather report for the week ending October the 14th, 2012. Some farmers are delaying fertilizer application as they wait for cooler condition and better soil moisture. Grain movement slowed a bit, with 45% of the state seeing moderate to heavy grain movement from the farm to elevator. As the harvest season advanced, 98% of the state report adequate or surplus off-grain storage capacity, and 95% of the state reports adequate or surplus on-farm storage capacity. 87% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed 1 month ahead of normal. 93% of the state soybean crop has been harvested 3 weeks ahead of normal. Only 22% of our pasture rangeland is rated in fair or better condition. Hay supplies are considered short across 41% of our, with just over two-fifths of the hay supplies considered in good condition. There are reports of calves being weaned and sold early this year due to short winter hay supplies. This is Latravis Brazil reporting for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Ward, agricultural statistician with the Illinois Field Office. Corn harvest advanced by 7 percentage points to 87% complete. This compares to only 60% last year and 53% for the 5-year average. Soybean harvest finished the week at 69% complete, compared to 66% a year ago and 60% for the 5-year average. Pasture conditions were rated at 29% in very poor to poor condition, 37% in fair condition, and 34% in good to very good condition. Fall seeding of winter wheat advanced to 46% planted, which compares to 57% 1 year ago, and 48% for the 5-year average. 11% of the wheat crop is now being reported as emerged. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Beer of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office. Rain over the weekend in the southeastern quarter of the state brought some much-needed moisture to the region. Some isolated pockets received over 2 inches of moisture. Row crop harvest is winding down in the east and continues active in western counties. Statewide, corn harvest is 80% complete, over 1 month ahead of average. Soybean harvest at 86% complete is near 3 weeks ahead of average. Winter wheat seeding at 95% was nearing completion. However, less than half of the winter wheat crop had emerged near 2 weeks behind average. Corn stalks were being baled or grazed with 97% of the state's pastures in poor or very poor condition. Cattle are being marketed as producers face high forage prices and limited feedstocks. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 14, 2012. Despite scattered showers in some areas, harvest progress was made in crops yet to be harvested. Corn was 90% harvested compared to 40% last year and 27% average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 14%. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, October 14th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 1.31 inches. Farmers had a very productive week for harvest and other field work across most of the state. However, field activities in many northwestern and north central counties did come to a halt due to weekend rain showers and high winds. Crops are slow to dry down at this point due to the frequent rain showers and cooler temperatures. 61% of the corn acreage has been harvested and is running about 17 days ahead of last year. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 19%. 51% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, which is about 2 days ahead of last year at this same time. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging a little above 13%. 47% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted and 9% has emerged. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. In just about 2 minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
The Closing Market Report comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Please pledge your support today.
It's World Food Day. It was established by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in November of 1979. Since 1983, an annual theme has been selected to provide a common focus for World Food Day activities. Agricultural themes in the past have included women in agriculture, small farmers, and agriculture and intercultural dialogue. It's also St. Gall's Feast Day, patron of geese and poultry. On this day in agricultural history in 1873, Herbert Calhoun Reed was born. An American chemist, he was known internationally as a consultant to the leather industry. He was one of a small group of leather industry chemists that founded the American Leather Chemists Association to establish reliable methods to determine the quality of materials used in leather manufacture. In 1939, sugar rationing began in the Netherlands, and in 1945, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization came into existence. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like federal crop insurance. Federal crop insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet? I hope so. But if not, 217-244-9455. Dial in your pledge of financial support for agriculture here at willag.org. You know, last week I told you Don Day was out with the folks that were trying to make the highest sky jump ever with the Red Bull Stratus team. He's done with that, and they were successful this past week in pulling that off, but not without the help of Don Day. He's on the phone line now, headed back to Cheyenne, Wyoming. So we're not going to talk to you about the weather forecast, Don, but tell me what it was like to be there and how long it's taken to get this job done.
Well, I tell you, it was very exciting to be here. It was a very, very difficult project, and especially getting Felix earlier this week to 128,000 feet is quite the task, especially safely. But I've been involved with this project for well over a year. We actually started with our first test flights in December of 2011. And throughout the course of the year, we've been doing test flights with unmanned capsules, and then we did two manned flights. Felix jumped from 71,000 feet in March to 97,000 feet in July, so we could work our way up to this final jump that happened on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's a record setter, right?
Oh, it is. The previous record was 102,800 feet, set by Colonel Joe Kittinger in 1960. And it was a record that had been tried to be broken before by various groups and people. Unfortunately, some people died along the way. A very dangerous endeavor, and that's why that record stood so for so long.
You know, why did the Red Bull Stratus team decide that this was something they wanted to do? It was not, I think, just because it was something to do, but there was some science behind it, right?
Oh, a lot of science. In fact, I know a lot of folks are thinking, well, this is just a daredevil marketing ploy by Red Bull, but it really isn't. I mean, there's a part of that, and Red Bull brand really got around the world on this weekend with that. But the scientific applications are immense with this. I always like to point to the space shuttle disaster when the space shuttle broke up over Texas, and that was at about 200,000 feet, and the astronauts really had nothing that they could do. But what we were able to prove with Felix's jump is that you can be able to escape from a space vehicle or, you know, a cataclysmic aviation disaster in the stratosphere, fall at supersonic speed, and survive altitudes that high. And there's a lot of aerospace medicine data that's going to come out of this, physiology. What happened to Felix? How did his body react to those extreme environments? This pressure suit he used, with the burgeoning and soon to come in the next few decades, private space industry. The private space industry is growing sort of in the shadows right now, but is really going to emerge here soon, to where private space travel is going to be, hopefully for our kids and grandkids, it'll be fairly common. And this space suit, this pressure suit that they're developing and have developed for this program is going to be the kind that will be used for people to have safe space travel.
Oh, that is way cool. Thank you so much, and congratulations to you and the Red Bull Stratus team. That's Quite an achievement, Don. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll do the weather then. How about that?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to this plain old weather for a while.
Have a safe trip home.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good day.
That is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.